Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. The first LQ update, as I probably don't have to tell you if you're listening to this, this is the first LQ podcast that I've done in a while. As I mentioned in the last podcast, I did anticipate the podcast getting a little irregular during the summer, not quite as irregular as it got, but I'm happy to announce that things should be getting back to a normal schedule now, so you should anticipate a new podcast every Thursday once again. The next LQ story I have is the LQ code upgrade. And this is something I talked about quite a bit, and I'm happy to finally announce that after that delay, we've rolled out the most recent code upgrade to LQ. Now, if you're a regular visitor to the site, you probably already know about this. If you are not, you won't notice a huge aesthetic difference. Like the main layout, for instance, remains pretty much unchanged. You should notice some fairly substantial performance improvements, especially depending on what part of the site you're on, a vast number of small usability improvements, some nice new smaller features, and some newer technology such as more Ajax sprinkled throughout, and we did move a lot of the Ajax over to the YUI library now, so thanks to Yahoo for that. A lot of what you can't see, however, is behind the scenes. And that's a variety of things, from a lot of things are easier for mods now, and more importantly, from a user perspective, this code base really gives us a flexible framework to move forward with some of the other items that we've been talking about. So stay tuned on that. We do have a couple exciting things coming soon. And I'd like to once again thank David for his continued help at LQ. The last LQ update I have is community involvement, and as you hopefully know at LQ, community feedback and community involvement is absolutely critical to us. And on that note, it's exciting for me to be able to announce the new LQ project tools, which is going to allow us to monitor community feedback and bug reports, feature requests, all those kinds of things in a much more coherent and cohesive way than we were able to in the past. We kind of had the bug tracker before, but you could only report bugs. It didn't track feature requests very well, so we did those in the forum and by email, and there just wasn't really a cohesive way to track all these things. Now, if you click on LQ bug report, and that's still the link, I'm probably going to change that. It's the old link to the bug report will get you there, though. You'll see the new project tools. Basically, there's a project set up for every main section of LQ, so one for the forums, one for the wiki, one for LQ ISO, etc. So if you have a suggestion on a project for us, or you'd like to see a completely new project, there's a way to do that also. If you found a bug, if you have a feature suggestion, any of that stuff, please do let us know. We really do listen. Now, on to the news. The first story I have is IBM joins OpenOffice.org. And to the collective cheer, really, of it's about time, IBM is now officially supporting the OpenOffice.org project. And as they note themselves, they kind of had some unofficial things before, but this is official definitive support. And this is from the press release. Quote, "The OpenOffice.org community today announced that IBM will be joining the community to collaborate on the development of OpenOffice.org software. IBM will be making initial code contributions that it has been developing as part of its Lotus Notes product, including accessibility enhancements, and will be making ongoing contributions to the feature richness and code quality of OpenOffice.org. Besides working with the community on the free productivity suite software, IBM will also be leveraging OpenOffice.org technology in its products. In the 7 years since Sun founded the project, OpenOffice.org has fueled and filled the need for document data and productivity tools that are open and free. Open source software and ODF are having a profound impact around the world, with numerous communities and organizations coming together to support these initiatives, and governments and corporations and schools standardizing on the software. We look forward to working with IBM and the other members of the OpenOffice.org community to ensure that this momentum continues. We invite others to join us in the community and participate in building the future as OpenOffice.org and ODF continue to gain popularity across the planet," said Rich Green, Executive Vice President, Software at Sun Microsystems, Inc. End quote. Now, the accessibility gains here, I think, are huge for OpenOffice.org, as it means a foot in the door to some, especially U.S. government procurements that were either not previously possible or, in most cases, would have just previously run into issues with those accessibility items. Steve Wally pointed out the significance of red flag Chinese 2000 software's participation in the press release, and that includes the potential ODF and UOF, which is their version of ODF, harmonization that may occur, and it looks like they could even potentially come into one standard. I think IBM almost certainly would have done this much sooner if Sun wasn't the primary OpenOffice.org backer, but this needed to happen either way. Andy Updegrove points out that the recent OOXML setback did impact the IBM decision to do this now. The question then becomes, is this too late? And I think the definitive answer to that is no. While it would of course have been great for ODF adoption if this would have happened earlier, I think we are still at a crossroads right now. OOXML approval is an uncertainty at best, and the market is more open than it has been for a long, long time. Microsoft, I think, from a feature and functionality perspective, has overshot with Office, and the emphasis is moving towards other items like open standards anywhere. An opportunity this large only comes around once in a generation, as John McCreesh, who's the OpenOffice.org marketing project lead, sums up well, and this is another quote from the press release. This is great news for the tens of millions of users of OpenOffice.org and the thousands of individual members of the project, said Don McCreesh, OpenOffice.org marketing project lead. We welcome IBM's contributions to further enhancing the OpenOffice.org product, but equally important is IBM's future commitment to package and distribute new works that leverage OpenOffice.org technology supporting the ISO ODF standard. ODF is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for the IT industry to unify around a standard and deliver lasting benefit to users of desktop technology. End quote. Now, for the record, that opportunity is about $15 billion annually, so it's easy to see why IBM and Sun were able to put their differences aside on this one. The next story I have is Microsoft kills its Get the Facts anti-Linux site. And I'm a little late on this one, it actually happened a couple weeks ago, but Microsoft has replaced its Get the Facts site with one that is ostensibly less biased. Here's a quote from their announcement. The goal of the site is to offer more in-depth information and customer-to-customer opinions about many of the issues IT administrators face, a company spokeswoman said. It turns out people wanted third-party validation in addition to people's experiences making OS purchasing decisions. So in addition to customer case studies, research reports that compare platforms, the site will also offer guidance around best practices, webcasts, etc. End quote. Now who would have thought that people wouldn't fully trust what a company says about their own products without quote-unquote third-party validation? And to be honest, I don't find it too interesting that the Get the Facts site was pulled down. At this point, after all, the Get the Facts campaign has been debunked and derided to the point that it was certainly doing more harm than it was good. I do, however, find it interesting that the new Windows Server Compare site doesn't really compare Linux with Windows. What it does is specifically compare Red Hat Enterprise Linux with Windows. Now, this could really be taken in two different ways. The first one, that Red Hat Enterprise Linux is the only real competition in the eyes of Microsoft. The second would be that Microsoft is specifically targeting Red Hat as a result of it not signing a deal similar to the one that Novell signed. I'll let you be the judge as to which one they think. Now, while on the topic of the Novell deal, it looks like the Microsoft and Novell Open Interoperability Lab is now open for business. And the Microsoft marketing team really does like to stick the word open absolutely everywhere they can. Now at 2,500 square feet, which is 50 by 50, there doesn't seem to be much room for engineers, especially when you consider that the room also has 80 plus servers and a SAN. It'll be interesting to see exactly what comes out of that lab. The next door I have is kudos to AMD, ATI GPU specs released. And as the title said, kudos has to be given to AMD here for following through on an earlier promise to release GPU specs. The specs are now publicly available, and that's without the need for an NDA. There's two PDFs available now, the RV630 Register Reference Guide and the M56 Register Reference Guide, and that represents just shy of 900 pages, and that's all of 2D specs. 3D specs and specs for other chips will be coming soon, according to AMD. That is absolutely awesome. Right now, work can begin in earnest on creating a truly open, truly good 2D and 3D driver. And we're going to have to see if this has any impact on sales for ATI cards. It's also going to be interesting to watch the Linux driver mature now that we have real specs and aren't doing reverse engineering and a lot of other difficult things. And graphics chips, especially the newer 3D ones, are really, really complicated. So the driver maturation process, if that's what you're into, it should be a fascinating thing to watch. The other thing to come out of this, of course, is what impact it will have on NVIDIA. Will they release specs? Will they continue to take the hard line as they have and just do their own 2D driver with the Nouveau driver being separate? So how this impacts NVIDIA will also be interesting to watch as it unfolds. The last story I have is Microsoft fails to gain approval for OOXML. And there's really just so much information and so many blog posts flying around about this that it's kind of been difficult to keep up, and I'm certainly still digesting a lot of it. But the bottom line here is that OOXML at this time is not an ISO standard. Now, a bit oddly, to me at least, Microsoft has actually spun this in a positive way with their, quote, strong global support for OpenXML as it enters final phase of ISO standards process, end quote, press release. And the reality is, this is just the beginning. Things now move on to the next step, which is where things should really start to unfold. It's clear that Microsoft is pulling out all the stops on this one. Andy Updegrove, who is not only extremely knowledgeable on the subject, but if you read all of his items, is extremely balanced in his observations. He certainly doesn't favor one side or the other, one as far as to say the following. Quote, as someone who has spent a great part of my life working to support open standards over the past 20 years, I have to say that this is the most egregious and far-fetching example of playing the system to its advantage of a single company that I have ever seen. Breathtaking, in fact. That's assuming, of course, that I'm right in supposing that all of these newbie countries vote yes. I guess we'll all just have to wait and see a few more days to learn whether these assumptions is true. Want to place your bets? End quote. If you kind of look around at other coverage of this issue, allegations range from ballot stuffing to nearly straight-up coercion, bribery, and just a variety of illegal acts. That should be an indication of just how important this is to Microsoft, and a lot of this ties right back to the first story that I covered, and, therefore, just how important it should be to you. It's fascinating to see one part of Microsoft make what appears to be a sincere effort to join the open source community with things like submitting some of their licenses to the OSI, and then see another part act like this at the very same time. And that should just give you an idea of how big a company like Microsoft is, and they most certainly internally have different divisions that not only think differently, but are doing things without the other division even knowing until they read it in the external news. Now, I will be doing some additional reading and research on this, and will certainly have more to say on the topic in the future. That's all I have for now, but thanks for listening.